Well, I think Marcus said it all, so I just don't know if I ain't got anything left to say or not. Praise God. But I believe God wants to talk to us, and we are nearing the Easter time, and when we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, and I believe we serve a risen Savior today, not a dead Jesus, but a living Christ, exalted Christ, amen. Not only risen from the dead, but is exalted to the right hand of the Father. And he's a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. Praise the Lord. And let's turn our Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 15. Mark, chapter 15. There are many things that happened during the time of the crucifixion on the cross. The 6 hours that Jesus hung there, and the last 3 hours especially, we'll deal with today. And there were miracles that happened at Calvary that day. There's many miracles that happened. And Jesus prayed for the people who were driving nails, spikes into his hands and feet. And it's amazing, and this came up in Sunday school, that Jesus prayed for those who hurt him, tortured him, caused as much pain as possible as a human could have. And that's those who were crucifying Christ. It was just another day's work for them. And it's hard to believe anybody could live such a godless life and to hurt people like that. But I'm glad that Jesus took it all. He patiently and willingly, he bore it all on the cross for us. Praise the Lord. And so let's notice the word of God. Mark chapter 15, verse 33. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you went to the depth of everything, God, to save humanity whom you created. And I'm thankful, Lord, for your precious love and grace toward us, God, as human beings that desperately need you. And I pray, Lord, you'd open our heart and our understanding to the truth of Scripture, Lord, in this time when we celebrate your death, burial, and resurrection. I pray that your mighty name would be glorified through the ministry of the Word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. As we come to this time of year, Easter season, if you want to call it that, and we come to the essentials of our faith. My friend, if we don't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, if we don't preach that and sing about it, then we've missed it completely. Amen. But the essentials of our faith, I believe that Christ not only died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, but that he rose again the third day and lives today. Praise the Lord. But there can be no resurrection without a death. There can be no payment for sin without a death, for the wages of sin is death. There can be no eternal life without the payment for sin. Unless there's a resurrection of Christ, then if he didn't have the authority to come again from the dead, he would have no authority to give you eternal life. But he did rise again from the dead. He had authority to lay down his life and authority to take it again, which he did both. But Jesus came to pay for our sins, to give eternal hope, to give eternal love, to give eternal peace. And in my mind's eye, if I can see Jesus there being nailed to the cross by wicked and vile people, and him telling those people, I came here to give you eternal hope. I came here to give you eternal life. I came here to give you peace. I came here to give you eternal things. And that would take a miracle of God, which it did. But Jesus died for those too, as well as he did for you and I. And a number of miracles happened that day at Calvary, and one of those was we'll call a miracle of darkness, which is the title of my sermon today. And don't worry, we'll get to the light before this is over with. But the miracle of darkness, from 12 noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun refused to shine, pulled a sack over its face and would not shine because the Son of God was there on the cross. And this miracle happened, and God is completely in charge of the universe. He controls the orbit of planets, controls time, space, and all order. He's God, the Creator. And you say, well, it's impossible for the sun to stand still for a day, or for God to cause it not the sun not to shine for 3 hours. Nothing is impossible with God, my friend. He can stop everything in a second's time with the word of his power and his mouth if he wants to. And yet by his grace, he allows us to live. Glory to God. More than that, he allows us to have eternal life and to share in his eternity. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus came from the light and the glories of heaven to a world that was dark with sin. And on the cross, he would experience the dark, sinful behavior of mankind. He came to save. He came to reveal the darkness of sin and to bring light of deliverance from sin to humanity. And he accomplished this at his work on the cross. Praise the Lord. And so we don't want to get away from the cross preaching, and we don't want to leave out the resurrection either. We don't want to leave any of it out. Jesus did it all. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he paid for it all. So let's look first of all what darkness is. What is darkness? I know this is no great revelation, but it's the absence of light. But spiritual darkness is the absence of spiritual light. Amen. And Jesus came to give spiritual light to this world, to open our eyes, to open our heart and our understanding to our need for him. Amen. He came to turn the light on where there is sin and darkness in our world, and he did. And so we find that darkness is, and it's a definition here, the love of sinful behavior so characterizes our world. You know that people sin because they enjoy sinning and because they love to sin. People gamble at casinos and whatever because that's what they love to do. They're sorry 99% of the times afterward. Man, and those that the other 1% have it all spent before they get out of there. And you know the most interesting thing I ever got in an offering plate? I got a lottery ticket one time in the offering plate. I didn't check and see if it was any good. I knew it wasn't. It wasn't here. It was at the other church. That makes you feel a little better. But sinful behavior characterizes our world. And love for sinful behavior and money drives people on. And so there's this humanity loves to sin. They don't realize what they're doing many times. Many times they do, but they love to sin. And Jesus said, and this is the condemnation that has come into the world, because men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Now Jesus said these words, and wherever Jesus went, it exposed sin. And the Pharisees and Sadducees didn't like it, because Jesus opened his mouth and talked, it exposed their carnal behavior that was behind their religiosity. And so Jesus came to open the eyes of people. He came to bring light and to shine on the darkness of sin. But people do things under the cover of darkness. People steal, even kill parents for money to buy another shot of illegal drug use. We live in a wicked world. Amen. And now on the cross, darkness would fall across the earth for 3 hours, for 12, noon to 3. The sun refused to shine. This was the Creator hanging on the cross. This was the Son of God. This was the Lamb of God who was to take away the sins of the world. This was the price of redemption. This is what our sin cost. It's for heaven's greatest treasure, the only begotten Son of God, to die for us. So what is darkness? Darkness is the battle for the soul of mankind, who was created in God's likeness and image. And let me just say this very comforting word today. The devil just really does hate you. Didn't that make you feel good? But he hates you and I. We're created in the likeness and the image of God, and have a spiritual part of us, body, soul, and spirit, that's never complete without God, and you and I can be born again, and there is a plan of redemption for us, and there's no plan of redemption for the devil and the demonic and the demons and the fallen angels that fell with him. And so that's one reason the devil hates us. So his greatest payback is to take God's creation and destroy it, mankind. And Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. He has only one thing in mind, to destroy you. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. But we see here that darkness is It's where sin and righteousness fought against one another, was on the cross. It's where right and wrong would battle on the cross. It's where righteousness and holiness would conquer sin and death. The cross wasn't just something else to do. It was not just another day's work for a Roman soldier. They may have considered that at first, but at the time that it was over, even they were saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Let's look at the effects of darkness for just a moment. Darkness hides things. And we see in the New Testament that Paul describes Satan as comes to people to steal, kill, and destroy, but he comes as an angel of light. But his behavior and what he does to people is dark. It's midnight black. And the kingdom of Satan is a kingdom of darkness. And I've got news for him. There is a lake of fire reserved for heaven where it will never be light there. But we know that the effects of darkness, it hides things sometimes. And darkness has an effect of this. It cultivates fear, like the coronavirus, unseen but deadly. Man. And we can overcome by fear. We can be overcome by fear of what this might cause, or we can believe God's promise to his church. I choose to believe what God said. If God's a creator, and he is, of heaven and of earth and all things, and God is good, and he is only good, and is the only thing good there is, praise the Lord, we can trust what he says to be good. Amen. And the Bible says he doesn't want us to drown in fear and despair and discouragement and depression. God said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. And so we can face this hour in power and glory and certainty that God is going to save us from fear. And Jesus came to take away the fear of death and hell. Because when a person gets ready to die, especially if they're not right with God, there is a fear. And I've seen a few people die that I didn't think was ready to meet God. And I'm not the judge, but there's a fearful thing, a trembling. They just don't want it to come, because suppose what I heard all my life about heaven and hell is true, they might say. And it is true. And I've yet heard a great doctor years ago. He was not just a family physician. He was very high up in the physician field and the government and everything. He said, never in my life have I witnessed a atheist on the deathbed. He had seen many people die, but he'd never seen an atheist that didn't believe when it come time to die. And so Jesus came to take away the fear of death and hell. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. That's a wonderful promise in the Word of God. And the wrath of God is the anger and the God's judgment being poured up on the earth. And Jesus came to deliver us from the wrath to come. Praise the Lord. So, my friend, we're looking for the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church. We got to get out of here. And so God will pour out his wrath upon a world that's forsaken his Son, or rejected his Son. And on the cross, Jesus would enter the realm of darkness and expose the darkness of sin and bring to light all who would believe. We can't begin to know the struggle that took place for those 3 hours of darkness on the cross. There was a spiritual battle that would conquer the powers of darkness and give light to all who would believe. Amen. And today we can allow ourselves to be overcome by fear of death, or we can believe Jesus conquered death at the cross. And he did conquer death at the cross. And he told the people, told John in Revelation, and he tells the church today, I believe he tells us today, Revelation 1:18, he says, fear not, for I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. So God is in charge, and when you give your heart to Jesus, my friend, you give him possession of your life. Amen. You're not your own anymore. You've been bought with the price of the precious blood of Christ. You belong to him. You don't have to be full of fear and doubt and wonder what in the world is going to happen. We know what's going to happen. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was raised again from the dead. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He reigns in kingdom and power and glory today. I'm not fearful today, but I'm glad the Lamb of God who takes away away the sins of the world, took away my sin and your sin. He loves, he cares. We can rejoice because he's in charge. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So believe this. I'm he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. Our Savior experienced death and dying for us. The ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For you see, there had never been any distance at all between God the Father and God the Son and the Holy Spirit. But for a moment's time, the Father had to look away and not see all the sin upon his Son. And Jesus was perfectly sinless. He never committed a sin, but he bore the full weight and guilt and shame of my sin and yours on the cross. He took the full weight of sin, its punishment, separation from God, which the sinner experiences at death. I cannot think of a more awful thing than a person that has to die without God. Has to die without a certainty and assurance in their heart they're ready to meet God, because they're going to meet him. And we're going to meet him. Man. And so that's an awful thing to think about. That somebody to die without Christ. That's the reason we spend and we send people into the world, so people will have knowledge of Christ, so that they won't have to die without Christ. And Jesus died alone so that you and I won't ever have to die alone. There's a time when this physical body will wear out and it'll be gone, and we know that the spirit and soul depart from the body at death. There's not such a thing as soul sleep taught in the scripture, even though some people believe that. Your soul, spirit, everything that's within you that's life goes to be with God immediately. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. When Stephen died after the stones were coming thick and fast, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So we know his spirit, his life left his body, and his spirit man ascended and is with Jesus today. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what happens at physical death. The body dies, but the spirit and soul don't die, and they don't sleep until some better time. They go to be with Christ immediately. Amen. And so, the light of the world hung up on the cross, bearing the sin and shame of sinful darkness. But by faith today in Christ, we have a great exchange. We exchange fear of death and hell for eternal life. That's a good exchange. Amen. We exchange eternal darkness for eternal light. We exchange eternal separation from darkness and death and hell for eternal heaven and eternal fellowship and relationship with God, our Creator. Jesus did a lot on those 3 hours on the cross. Praise the Lord. Powerful. Number three, the spiritual side of darkness. Let's look at that for a moment. Many times sinful things are done under the cover of darkness. Devil worship, demon worship, rituals are done many times in cemeteries or dark places to hide ungodliness. This is old, but I'm going to say it anyway. Dimly lit taverns. It's kind of old. Bars, prostitution, theft, adultery, murder many times are done under the cover of darkness. Let's just understand something about God. It says in Psalms 139 that the darkness and the light are the same to God. I want to tell you, God sees everything. Nothing is hidden from his all-seeing eye. Amen. There used to be an old gospel song called There's an All-Seeing Eye Watching You. And I used to have a song leader sing it right before they took the tithe and offering in our church. Anyway, why did I say that? But anyway, you're awake. But many times things are done under the cover of darkness. If we look to the book of Jude is amazing because he reaches back even before back in the antediluvian period. Amen. Before the flood. But even as he speaks out, false teachers preaching that in Jude's day, preaching that hell wasn't eternal existence and judgment for those who reject Christ. They're preaching the wrong gospel. There's people that preach that today. I heard a guy on TV not here long ago. And you said, do you watch TV? Oh, shouldn't have been then, but anyway, I heard him anyway. And he was saying, when you die, you just become dust. And that's it. Soul, spirit, and everything. You don't eternal exist because when you die, you're just dead. And you just and your body goes into, you know, the dirt. And so I didn't agree with him, of course. The Bible does not teach that. It teaches we'll eternally exist. The body may go back to the dust, it will, but your spirit and soul go on to be with the Lord. It's fully alive, spirit body that looks just like you. Amen. Except if you're saved, it'll be glorified. Praise the Lord. And so Jude gives a picture of concerning false teachers that have risen up in his name. False teachers are not just people today that teach false things. There always have been false teachers. They're false prophets in the Old Testament. And so in the book of Jude, verse 11, what chapter? It only has one chapter. Jude 11 says, warn of them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. And you know Cain in the Old Testament murdered his brother Abel. They've run greedily after the error of Balaam for profit. And Balaam's a different subject. God had to make a donkey talk to talk to him. And still he wouldn't believe. Can you imagine that? Here Balaam is trying to get away from God. And this donkey falls down and he won't carry Balaam any further. And God opens the mouth of the donkey. Donkey says, I'm trying to help you. I've been your donkey since I was a little donkey. And there's a donkey talking. You think that would have done something to Balaam when he realized the donkey's talking Hebrew. And the donkey says, I'm your friend. I'm trying to protect you from that guy up there that's trying to part your hair with that sword. And so we know that Balaam read greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. And he didn't, and it's an interesting story, Balaam is, but he did it for profit, and he was the one that encouraged idolatry with the Moabites. But Jude says, ran greedily after the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the gainsaying or rebellion of Korah. And Korah is the one that led the rebellion against Moses in the Old Testament. It didn't turn out good for them either. The earth opened up its mouth and swallowed all of them. And so Jude describes false teachers here. We're talking about the spiritual side of darkness here. And he says, these false prophets are spots in your love feast while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead and plucked up by the roots. I'd say they were false. And he further describes them. He said, they're raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. Wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Spiritual darkness. They will never get out. Blackness of darkness forever. That is hard to imagine that somebody would choose hell and darkness forever over eternal life and light in Christ. Because, you see, creation itself reveals light. In Scripture, even as far as Genesis 1, amen, bear with me a minute. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Amen. So the earth was flooded with everything dark. And that was without form and void. The word void there means empty. And you see, without the light of God, everything is empty. And without the light of Christ in us, we're empty. The sinner without God is empty. Amen. And needs the light of Christ and the light of the gospel. And without God, life is empty. But with God, there is meaning of life. We have purpose. You and I have reason to live. We have reason to pick up and go on with God. And things, the loss of things and stuff here in this world, it means nothing if you're right with God. And if you're living for God, we've got the greatest day ahead. We've got the greatest time ahead. We're going to meet our Savior one day. We're going to bow at His feet and cry holy. We're going to get to see Him in the fullness of His glory and His power. My friend, you can't afford to miss anything with God for this world. Glory to God. Example of this was the demoniac of Gadara in Mark chapter 5. Well, this guy is a pitiful case. And the town people were scared of him because he was always roaming around in the cemetery, crying and cutting himself with stones, and many times he'd been bound with shackles and things that no person human could break. But they had been pulled apart by him because there was a demonic spirit on the inside that was calling him to have that kind of power. But can you imagine an individual, miserable, full of darkness? He was at a place of no help. There was no earthly solution to him. I mean, they had no doctors. They had no psychologist or psychiatrist that could explain what his behavioral problem was. Because he didn't have any sensible behavior. But he saw somebody one day. Amen. And he was multiple demon possessed. A demon of legions possessed him. He had more than one. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." The demons didn't want him to cry out. But he did. Surely there's somebody. If you can imagine, the scripture doesn't say that, but whatever you're saying, "Jesus, please don't pass me by. I got to have you, Lord. Don't pass me by." Have you ever felt like that? I know you have. God won't pass you by. Amen. "Call unto me and I will answer you." Amen. You call to Jesus. You don't quit praying. You keep on praying. You keep on seeking God. You keep on calling out to God. God isn't deaf. He doesn't need that. But he wants to hear you. He wants to answer your prayer. He wants to be with you. So that you're never alone. Hallelujah. We know that he came to Jesus. And Jesus cast the demons out of him. In the next scene, he wasn't crying and cutting himself with stones and crying out. He was clothed and in his right mind. Praise the Lord. And he became an evangelist. I didn't use that word, but he said, "Jesus, I want to go with you." Jesus said, "No, you stay here and you go and tell everybody what I've done for you." And he went into Capolis, which means 10 cities, and they all marveled when they saw this demoniac delivered, set free, and clothed, and in his right mind. That's what Jesus can do. That's how God can bring somebody out of total darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God. Last of all, light exposes darkness. And Jesus exposed what people loved, and that's darkness. Jesus exposed the sin of religious leaders. Jesus exposed the sin of the sinner. But he brought them hope that they could be delivered and could be set free. I mean, he saved the worst of sinners. The Pharisees, Sadducees, religious leaders, they would have nothing to do with a tax collector. Publican, not Republican, just tax collector. They're probably Democrats. Tax collector. No, if you're a Democrat, I still love you. But he would go to them and save them. They were considered to be the worst of sinners because publicans collected taxes. They were Jewish people that collected taxes for the Roman government. And they couldn't think of anything that could be worse than you collecting taxes from them to give to Rome. But Jesus came and saved those people. And Jesus was criticized. He said, "How come it is that you fellowship with sinners, with publicans and sinners?" And Jesus said, "I didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." Amen. That's what he did when he saved me. He called a sinner to repentance. That's what he did when he saved you. And so light exposes darkness. Those practicing evil hate light because guilt, shame, disgrace, evil motives were exposed. where the gospel is lived and preached. That's the reason there is so much opposition to the gospel, because it exposes so much. That's the reason that people die today in persecution, because it exposes their sin and they don't like it. It makes them mad. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." And so that's what our life does. That doesn't mean we go around and talk to people and say, you know, your problem is you're just filthy on the inside. I'm not even going to talk to you. No, Jesus came to save the lost. He didn't participate in their sins, but he didn't run from them. He stood as testimony to them. His message was, hey, look, there's hope in me. There's forgiveness. There's restoration. You can make something of your life. You can live for God. You can have eternal life. Don't go on the way you're going. Repent and turn to God. And that's our message. Amen. It's not the gospel, preaching the gospel is not to try to make people feel as low as possible and as sinful as possible. They're already sinners. They already know that. You may have to tell them what they're doing is wrong, and the way they're living is not right, and they're not on their way to heaven living like that. But tell them you care, that Jesus loves them, God cares for them, God wants to save them, God wants to bring them out of darkness into his marvelous light. He doesn't want them to die in darkness. And he suffered 3 hours in the darkness, and with us spiritual battles we're not able to completely understand, except we know that he came forth victorious. Amen. And he would rise again on the third day, completely powerful and mighty and glorious. So it's a dark world we live in, but Christ is in us. And Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Hallelujah.